the good news of Jesus Christ. We do not compromise on it. We stay true to it. We don't dilute it. We don't leave out the bits that we're uncomfortable with. We share it and we live it out to the fullest. Don't sin to save a sinner. We do not compromise. In verse 21 of the passage, in that kind of wordy section, it says, to those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. Paul was willing to become all things to all people, but within reason. He was never going to give up on who he was. He would never compromise on his faith. He would never compromise on Jesus Christ. And in that, we need wisdom on how to share things well. We've got a lot of primary school teachers or ex-primary school teachers here. And on day one of primary one, when you're faced with maths, you don't jump in with like algebra and vectors and Soka Toa. We all remember Soka Toa, don't we? There's stepping stones into it. They're stepping stones. This is about Christ using us to win others, not us doing the work of salvation. He does that. But his plan is to use us. The gospel in its fullness was utterly consistent in all that Paul did. He might have changed his approach time and time again, but the gospel message was always the same. And in that, we need to remember that this message that we have, it is offensive to some as well. So as we are sharing, as we are going out, as we are rearranging our lives and trying to meet new people and building up those friendships, and we get to the point of sharing Jesus with them, some will be excited about this, some will want to know more, but some will be offended by it. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Some will be offended by it. Some will, as in Matthew 5, it says, persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you. And just read the last few verses of Philippians 1 as well. It's just like, not everyone is going to respond and say, yes, I need Jesus. But some will. Some will. In Acts 17, again, where Paul is in Athens, as he closes out that passage, is really obvious. Some say, yes, we want to know more about who Jesus Christ is. But others, and it says in this passage, mocked Paul for what he was saying. If that was the case then, we should expect the same thing now. But some will say yes. For all the mocking we might get, it is worth it, people, that some will say yes. Some will have their eyes opened by the Spirit to see that they have a Father in heaven who loves them so, so much. They will see that God himself came down to this world to be with us, to rescue us, because we are so in need of a Savior. They will see that they have rebelled against God and that they are in need of God's grace and mercy. Some will. Some will see that they need healed. Some will see that Jesus is real. Some will see that Jesus died in their place on the cross to save them. Some will see that Jesus rose 3 days later, defeating sin and death. Some will see that Jesus reigns right now by the Father's right side, sitting in victory. Some will choose to trust him. Some will choose to follow him and share in the blessings that we all have each and every single day in Jesus Christ. Some will. Would we be willing by any means to be used by Jesus so that some will? Would we not isolate ourselves? Would we be willing to rearrange our priorities, take time to understand the cultures and the people around us? And would our message stay steadfast the whole time? I came across a quote a few weeks ago that I think sums up much of this pretty well. It says, "The church is not meant to call men and women out of the world into a safe religious enclave, but to call them out in order to send them back as agents of God's kingship." In half an hour, 40 minutes or so, we're all going to walk out those doors. And we all have choices to make. And I pray for all of us that we would choose to make the same choice that Paul did, that he would say, "I am a servant of Christ. I am free in Christ. I have the power of God living in me, and I will go and serve everyone in any way imaginable so that they may share in the same blessings that I do." Would we do that? And would we do it because we know what will happen if we don't? And would that fact sadden us? That here in this world, that there's many people here do not share in Jesus Christ. Who still, as in Ezekiel 36, talks about, we have the heart of stone, but he replaces it with a heart of flesh. Would we want people to share in that blessing? Would we want people to come and share in the blessing of being with us? At Soul Survivor, every time someone gives their life to Jesus, they go to the front, and they're kind of facing the front, and they're facing Mike and Andy. And so they're having a chat, and then at the end, Mike gets them to turn around, and he does this kind of apologetically, but kind of funny as well. He says, "Turn around. This is your family now." And everyone lifts up this huge cheer. Is so loud. But everyone is cheering because someone has just joined their family, because someone has just come into saving faith in Jesus Christ. Would we want that for our family, for our friends, and for our neighbors? Would we do it by any means? Let me pray, and then can I ask the band to pop up? But I'll explain what I'm going to do in a second. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for Paul. And in 1 Thessalonians, he says how he wants to give his life as someone that we can imitate as he is imitating Christ. And would we see what Paul has chosen here? That in his freedom in Christ, he said, "I'm going to become a servant to all so that I might be used by God to win some." Lord, we see the privilege it is that you choose to use us this way. Thank you, Lord, that we get to share the greatest gift with this world of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, would you remind us afresh this morning of who we are in you, of who you are and how much you love us, and how much you love this world. Would you come and move in all of us? Holy Spirit, would you remind us, would you prod us just to say, what about this? What about doing that? I pray that you come and speak with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm just going to ask the band just to play through a song. And as they do that, you're allowed to take out your phone or a pen or something, and a paper. But I'd like you to write an "I will" statement. And so it needs to start with, "I will something, something, something." So it might be, "I will spend an hour this week looking at my schedule and seeing where I'm spending my time." Or, "I will go and engage with that person at my workplace that I've been meaning to do so for quite some time, but I've never got around to it." "I will go and go to that community event so that I can build up some friendships." Make it quite specific, and then choose someone that you're going to share it with at the end of the time. And so at the end of our time, or you can do that later on today, send that to that person as well. And ask them in a week's time for them to come back to you and say, "Ask me how I got on. Hold me to this. Hold me accountable to this." So let's do that. So for the first time ever in church, you're allowed to open up your phones, and it doesn't need to be the Bible app. So go for it, people. And the band are going to lead us through a song, and then in a short time, we're going to sing a couple of songs.